Hey Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 34 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we are going to be discussing episodes 19 through 21 of Ouran High School Host Club. Let's dig in. Okay, so jumping right into episode 19, here is our soft serve summary brought to us by Wikipedia. The Lobelia girls kidnap Hadahi and bring her to St. Lobelia Girls Academy, where they dress her in uniform and invite her to join the Zuka Club. She refuses until she learns that Benibata's late mother would be disappointed in Benibata for canceling the show. Meanwhile, the host club freaks out when they visit Ryuji and learn that Hadahi is with the Lobelia girls. They infiltrate St. Lobelia, spy on Hadahi's rehearsal, and pretend to be fans of Lady Benibata in order to get close enough to Hadahi to rescue her. During the actual show, Tamaki overhears that there's to be a kiss scene, and when Benibata speaks lines about revenge, the spotlight shines on the hosts and Hadahi's dad. Kyoya, in the meantime, has charmed his way into the control room and taken command of the technical console, having the image of Hadahi kissing Kaneko at the dance party projected onto a large onstage screen for the world to see, thereby thwarting Benibata's hope to steal Hadahi's first kiss. The episode ends with the Zuka Club and the hosts chasing Hadahi around the stage. And that's our, like, really interestingly written soft serve summary from Wikipedia. So, Chika, do you have a theme for this episode?
I feel like my themes are mostly gags, to be honest.
Okay.
I have two. So, one is, if you see someone kidnapped, call the police.
Fair.
And then the other one is, Kyoya saves the day in the easiest way possible.
Yes. I agree. I actually don't have a theme for this episode because I wrote, it's too chaotic for me to pick out a theme. There was just too much happening. I didn't know what a central message was for this episode.
Yeah, same. It's like, I feel like the themes that I came up with, it's just certain sections of the episode. It doesn't encompass all of it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Do you have any sprinkles on top?
Nope, do you?
I do. It's nothing deep at all. I put that the Lobelia girls quote-unquote capture Hadahi in the exact same way that the twins and Tamaki did on their way to, I think it was, Kyoya's resort.
Oh.
It's like target captured and they put her in the car in the exact same way. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, they were a little reminiscent of one another.
Yeah. My second sprinkle on top is that the stage at the Zuka Club looks like the stage in Kageki Shoujo.
Yes!
With the bridge in the front and all, because you were saying in one of our last Ouran episodes that they're based off of the same theater troupe. So I thought that was a really cool little thing to notice after having seen Kageki Shoujo.
They did it again. Hold on, because now I have to look it up because, oh, it's Takara Zuka Revue. That is the Japanese all-female musical theater troupe that Kageki Shoujo is based off of. And I guess Ouran also based Lobelia's like stage off of this Revue's stage as well, because they have this silver bridge. I was like, oh my gosh, like, look at us retaining information.
We're becoming anime scholars over here.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yes. So let's jump into Floats Your Boat. Chika, what's one of your likes?
Okay, so one of my likes is that the host club goes to Haruhi's house and they sing her a song to let them in.
Yeah, that was adorable. I will be honest, though, I did have that in Banana Split just because they showed up unexpectedly. But I love that they, one, sang and two, showed up with sweets.
Yes, and then they ran away and Ranka rolls them as if they're like a ball of dough back into the apartment.
Yeah,
so I thought it was cute. Although, you're right, like, I don't think that I was paying as much attention, maybe, Because I thought it was planned, but if it's unplanned, it's like...
Oh, that's true.
Y'all need to start telling people when y'all are going to their house.
Yeah, you gotta send a text at least.
Right. People have things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been planned, like, off screen. Although, I mean, then they wouldn't have been so surprised that she wasn't home, I guess. Oh, no, I don't know. It was all very... Everything was very sudden about her going to Lobelia.
Yeah, I mean, she was going to the supermarket, right? So I think if it was planned, then she would have already went. So she'd have been there.
Yeah. I don't know. The first thing that I put into Floats Your Boat was just the insanity of the fangirls of Benny Botta slash, like, the Zuka Club. In particular, I wrote down this line because, oh my god, there's this fangirl who comes up and she made Benny Botta a bento, a little lunch, and it has those little hot dog octopus critters in it. And she's like, "You're just as red and adorable as the octopus. Do you perhaps wish for me to feast on you?" And oh my god.
Yeah.
That sent me completely.
I was just like, she said that girl looked as adorable as an octopus weenie. An octopus weenie.
It can be, I mean, I don't know. I guess cute in not like a, like an actually cute way. I mean, I feel like if it's like artistic and small and like edible, it could be cute.
I can't see it for that. I'm sorry. It's like, girl, she just called you sausage. What, like?
She just called you sausage.
She did. She called her sausage. You remember sausage part? That actually is dark. I don't mean to go there.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's okay.
But ixnay the sausage party reference.
Oh, my God.
It was funny. So I did have it in Floats Your Boat, but, like, you can't just call me a sausage.
No. Like, if I was, like, idolizing someone and I made them a lunch, I don't think I would want them to compare me to it.
Right. Yes.
There are better compliments for sure.
Yes. Actually, this brings up the fact that, you know, I know some people, they love a franchise so much that they do want to eat it.
What?
Yes, they'll see cafes and it'll be like, oh, have Sailor Moon rice. And it's like shaped like her head. Or like, oh, here, eat Pikachu onions. Or, well, not onions, but like, you know what I mean? Pikachu sausage or something like that because it's shaped like Pikachu. I have never understood that. That's beyond me.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to, like, make art out of food, but I mean, I like holiday-themed things. It kind of reminds me of, like, when I was a kid, though, too, getting those popsicles from the ice cream truck that look like SpongeBob or, like, Jigglypuff or something.
Yes, I was never that girl.
Oh, no, see, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, it sounds weird to say eating a franchise like that. It really makes it sound creepy. But I also just love themed things. Like, if you invite me to a party, I'm going to be 10 times more excited if it has a theme. So, I mean, I guess I could kind of get behind food that way, too.
Like a theme, we love a theme. I just can't eat themed food. I don't know. It personally gives me the ick. Not that I'm saying that other people can't do it. It's just that I'll be the one saying, okay, where's the regular, like, weenie and not the cutesy octopus weenie.
That's fair. To each their own, for sure. You know what? I would honestly really love to ask the listeners about this, if they can get behind themed food or not, because this is really interesting to me.
Yeah. Like, let me... Are you like me? Are you like Gianna?
I'm going to put that as our poll on Spotify, but also please tell us on social media, like reply to the episode announcement, because I really genuinely want to know.
Yeah. Would you eat your favorite franchise?
Would you eat your favorite franchise?
Would you eat them?
Yeah. I might not word it that way, but...
Well, yeah. No, I mean, no, but...
Would you feast on your favorite franchise?
Like, yeah, like, man, Sailor Moon's hair, it just gets me. Like, would you do that?
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to steer it back. There's a point, I just want to stick to, like, I put all the fangirling into one Floats Your Boat. So there's later in the episode where all the fangirls are doing this ridiculous chant about Benny Bottom, and Haruhi's dad, Ranka, wants to blend in, so they join in the chant and they get the hosts to join in the chant. And it's just the level of over the top that it is. Like, nobody's that idolized in high school. It's just to, like, the nth degree. It's so funny to me.
Yeah, like, don't y'all have something better to do? It's school.
Is anybody in, like, a club that's not the Zuka Club at Lobelia?
Right, that's what I'm thinking, because I'm just like, are they the same level of rich? Because
it seems that way. Because I feel like Haruhi talks about them being rich, too.
Right, I mean, I would think that the teachers would have feelings about it. Like, why aren't you in class?
Yeah, I would honestly love to unpack all of the Lobelia lore, wherever it is and whatever it could be. Like, what goes on in the school? Are there more clubs than the Zuka Club? Does the whole school get off from school that day when there's a big show that everybody could attend when it's put on by the Zuka Club? I have so many questions.
There's so much, because it's like that level of fandom and you just have other students protecting you. Like, wouldn't you just hire bodyguard?
Right. Again, we ask the question, where's the faculty?
Where is the faculty? Is it a series if we don't ask that question?
Right. Is it an anime if we're not asking that question? Like, where is there an adult?
Yeah.
What's some of your likes?
So when Ranka is like filled in that Haruhi was actually kidnapped and she didn't know those girls, you see like steam coming out of Tamaki's head like he's a tea kettle. When Ronk is like, oh, what if they kiss each other or something?
Yeah, that's actually what I had next. Like, Tamaki absolutely loses his mind at the thought of Haruhi kissing somebody.
Yeah, it's just, it's hilarious. I guess a slight change of scenery. I love that Haruhi finally gets irritated with the Lobelia girls.
Yes, it's so refreshing to see that.
Right, because, like, I don't know why I put it in Banana Split. I mean, you know what? I do understand why I have that. That second thing in Banana Split. But I was glad that she was irritated because it's like, girl, they're monopolizing your time too. And I know that when you enter clubs in high school, that sometimes that means that part of your like weekend might be dedicated to the club, whether you're doing theater or you're doing a sport, because people, you know, they'll have plays on the weekend or they'll have matches or whatever else and stuff. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when you do not have any plans on doing school-related things, and then you get caught up in it, I 1,000% understand why Haruhi was so pissed. I wanted a little bit more of that, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And it's for sure, like, I don't want to say refreshing again, but, like, it's just really nice to see her finally, like, push them off of her when they're all over her, like hugging all up on her again like they were in the last episode they were in.
Yeah,
it's just so good to see her be like, no, actually, like, get off of me. This is my personal space and you're invading it.
Right, because I mean, in the host club case, at least she knows them. She does not know those girls.
No.
Like, who are you to kidnap me?
Yeah, this is literally the second time she's ever seen them in her life.
Yeah,
I have a speculation. Haruhi's mom was in the Zuka Club.
Yeah.
So I know it's not good to generalize or like assume things, but I'm wondering if perhaps like could both of her parents have been bisexual? Because I know that in the manga, Ranka is bi. I never had thought about this before I've seen this episode. I know like a lot of the Zuka Club girls seem to lean towards like being lesbian. So I didn't know if perhaps we could think about maybe Haruhi's mom being bi. I don't know. It's just a thought.
That's like the most sacred of unions. Like when two right? bisexual people Ugh. Come together.
That's what I was thinking.
They have their queer little family. Like, please, God, when will it be our turn?
I know. I'm like, goals? Please.
Yes. I mean, mine is children. But still, yes. Like, oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Yeah, and we have Haruhi, like, it wouldn't be so bad being fussed over by a bunch of girls. So it's like, a trio of bisexuals, perhaps. This would be amazing.
Oh my gosh, like, the dad is bisexual, the mom is bisexual, the child is bisexual. Like,
if there was ever a gay agenda.
My brain is exploding, like, with, like, confetti and happiness and, like, Cher singing in the background.
Yes. Oh, yes. My goodness. And Robin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that. I love thinking that. That's going to be my headcanon.
Oh, my God. Like, wow. Inherit my queerness.
Right? What a concept.
And then it's just like family pride outings. Come on.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
I love it.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the better it gets. So next I have in my floats your boat, oh my Lord Frederick.
Yeah, she is wooden as hell. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Like exactly like a robot, like they were saying.
Yeah, it was funny. They were just like, she's like a daikon. Is that onion or is it a radish?
A radish, yeah.
Yeah, so they're just like, she's a radish. She's a robot. Then they literally show her as a robot.
And I love how during the scene, Benny Bada is going on this really long monologue about how she's dying and how he's just like, this guy sure does talk a lot for someone who's dying. I wonder how long he can hold out. Do you think there'd be some time to find him a doctor or something?
Right. So funny. Yeah. Oh my God.
So like melodramatic. It's like, I feel like this is one of like the funniest bits too. Like I can get like easily annoyed by the Lobelia girls, but this is all so, so funny to me. The fact that Hadahi can't even attempt to act. And especially when she starts lip syncing, but we don't know that she's lip syncing. And it kind of sounds like it could possibly be her for a second. It's like, whoa, wait, what? And then the cord gets pulled and it's like, oh, of course, that wasn't actually her.
Right. Because it's just like, if the dad says she has no musical ability, honestly, I think that the background music with no musicians should have been the cue-in that she was lip syncing.
Right. Yeah.
But it was cute while it lasted, but I just thought, oh, okay, like her saying, Prince Frederick, Prince Frederick, I thought that was it. But then her having to learn an entire song, like, okay.
Yeah, that would definitely be a lot to ask somebody in a few hours to be like, be part of our performance, also learn this song. I would, like, Hadahi's great and all, like, you know, she's very kind. She gives people her time when they don't deserve it. But, like, I'd walk right out of there.
Right? I would, too. I mean, I'd do a little more than that. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any more floats your boat?
Oh, I have two left.
Okay. I have a handful left, actually. I was surprised to see me make this many notes for this one.
My last one is at the very end of the episode. So, the one that I have is the combat wing of the Benibara Stan Club.
Yeah.
You can't authorize fighting. Like, what?
No. No, it's, like, so out of left field, too. I was like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah, it's against the law. I was just like, oh, not you putting hands on people.
Right, they'll be in the wings waiting to critique her performance.
Yeah, and they even had, they had shackles, I think.
Yeah, I think there were, like, nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Shackles, like some weird, like, it looked like an evil yo-yo, but like a metal one.
Oh, God.
It looked like it would maim people. And I'm just like, not y'all pulling her into this performance she doesn't want to be in. And then you have your people threatening her if she messes up.
Right. What's going on at Lobelia? Again, so many questions.
So many. Like, honestly, they've got to be doing something even worse than the host club, because what?
Yeah. For sure. The next thing that I have is Tamaki going, and the only way I could describe it, like the first thing that popped into my head was Solid Snake from the Metal Gear Solid video games. He's drawn in like super comic detail, and they zoom in on his face, and his voice deepens, and he's like, this is like right after they show those maidens who will critique her performance in the wings. He's like, we're going to get her out of that place. And, like, then they change the frame. They, like, flip it so that he's, like, facing the other way. He's like, and yet, even as we speak, the curtain's rising is nearly upon us. And it's so dramatic and, like, unnecessary. And I don't even know where it came from or why it was there, but I love it so much. It's the first time I saw it, I think I had to pause the episode because I was laughing so hard. Like, it's so funny.
I just love the way that they just draw him like different. And
yeah,
I love moments like that, like when they sort of experiment with how they're going to draw things, how they animate stuff. And so by the time we're watching it, it's just like I'm holding my sides from laughing.
Yeah. Like, they find a new way to exaggerate the character that will give us an even bigger reaction than we had before to the meme, and I love it. So I also couldn't go without mentioning that Kiyoya handles this situation in his own, like, very savvy way. Like, he's actually thinking logically, how can I get Haruhi out of this, you know, for Tamaki's sake or Ranka's sake or whoever, and save the day and also make myself look good doing it. And he achieves that. And this is reminding me, because there were a lot of instances leading up to this where I was like, Kiyoya is such a problematic fave. Kiyoya is such a problematic fave. And I feel like in this episode and Kiyoya's day out as well, even though he was kind of iffy in that one, we're like seeing the better side of Kiyoya a little bit.
Yeah, because like I think Tamaki can get so caught up into his own mental theater and then brings the other club members into it. But then Kiyoya, on the other hand, is just very strategic and logical. And it's just like, okay, I can just use my name to get in without having to pull all of these extra antics, and I'll get what I want by doing so.
Yeah.
Even though he's problematic, he can be really handy at times.
Yes, for sure, for sure. I just have three more. They're all pretty quick, actually. So Benny knows that the host club is there, and she gives Tamaki the most dramatic look before she goes to kiss Haruhi. And then, of course, like, the spotlight shows on the host, and then the whole show just falls apart into this melodramatic chaos. And I just really love the way it unfurls.
I also like in that moment that, like, Haruhi's just like, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
Or, like, you're crazy or something. She says something along those lines when, oh my gosh, what's her name?
Benibara?
When Benibara's trying to initiate this first kiss thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, Haruhi, because this is crazy. Like, fight back.
It absolutely is. Like, what an insane plot to just kiss this girl. That's terrifying in a way that, like, this was pretty much drawn up so that Benibara could kiss Haruhi. But I guess that could be a different segment. Like, I just thought of that right now. Do you have any more floats your boat? Because I just have like one, two more ish.
Yeah, my last floats your boat is I love everyone jumping on Tamaki like he's a carpet.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him, but it was still like funny because it's like Haruhi is able to escape from Benibara because everyone finds out through Kiyoya that she's already kissed a girl before.
Yeah.
Including Ranka, who does not have a favorable reaction to that.
No.
But that's in a different segment.
Yes, it is.
And so then Tamaki's just like, jump down and I'll catch you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you're not catching Haruhi on her own. You're catching Haruhi in this big ass costume dress.
Yeah.
So then she lands on him and it's just like, ooh, like, okay, splat.
It's rough. It's rough. Honestly, the first time I watched Oran, I remember that moment. Well, first of all, he slips on a plot banana when he goes to save her initially, which is always great. That always gets me. But then he's like standing there and she's on this platform. He's like, I'll catch you. And it like actually starts off so magical. I remember like I had like butterflies the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, I love this. And then of course she just like thuds down on him. But it's like, of course that would happen. Like, anybody catching somebody from that high in, like, that huge costume, like, it's not gonna end in this cute romantic way. Like, you're both going down.
Right, right. Nah, like, you're going down. Then Benibara came and jumped on Tamaki.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you get no peace this episode, do you, Tamaki?
Right, like, just like his teddy bear in the Honey's Three Bitter Days episode, where it's just getting thrown down constantly. It's just a real reflection of that. Of him in the flesh just getting like beat down. Poor boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so do you want to move into Banana Split?
Sure.
I just have one.
I had sort of like three.
Okay, you can go first because I just have the one.
So one of the things I wrote is just Haruhi, like, fight back. I'm not going to any school on my day off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that she at least said something to stand up for herself. But I was kind of banana split about the fact that in the way that Tamaki is always falling for people's sob story, as long as you include, like, somebody's mother in it, then Haruhi also falls for people's sob story because she misses her own mom.
Uh-huh.
And so it was frustrating because, you know, like we said, this is like the second time Haruhi has ever met the Lobelia girls. So it doesn't make sense for her to be falling for any scheme that they have because she literally doesn't know them. And it's just like, fuck your mom. Like, not really, but I don't know. I don't even know you.
Yeah. She has no emotional attachment to them.
At all. I mean, that's a little messed up, but still, like, Haruhi's a girl, like, you could literally fight back. Do what you have to do to get out, because people just randomly kidnapping you, which I guess, actually, no, you know what, let me not keep going on that thought, or we'll get into, like, ice cream, you scream.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly pretty much had the same thing in Banana Split. The only reason why it's in Banana Split was because, you know, when Haruhi initially says no, it's just the girls holding that really theatrical pose and a fanfare plays like three different times. And I thought that that was really, really funny and like really well executed. But just the fact that they were coercing her into being part of the play with feeding her these, I kind of assumed to be dramatic lies, the way that Benny Bada kind of takes her hand down and like glances at Haruhi to see if it's working.
Yeah.
You know, they're just playing directly into the loss of her mother. And it's like really infuriating, honestly.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if you have this major play going on, why do you have time to kidnap people? It didn't have to be Haruhi. Like, why? And I like literally put it, I was like, why didn't they get Octopus Weenie Girl to do the role?
Yeah, I mean, almost anybody could have done it better than Haruhi, so.
Right. She didn't even do it well, and it's just, but yeah, so.
Yeah.
The last one that I have is Haruhi's mom being in Zuka. I was like, oh, that's not expected. But I mean, now that we kind of started talking about, like, her family being the Bi Trinity.
The Bi Trinity.
It's not really as much Banana Split. I feel like it's more like Floats Your Boat Banana Split than it is like just Banana Split by itself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on the same page as you. Yeah, it's kind of like, why was she in the Zuka Club? What kind of person really was like Haruhi's mom, you know? But I really just want to envision them as the Bi Trinity.
Yeah, that should be a t-shirt.
That might have to be the title of this episode. Right. Or a t-shirt.
A t-shirt, if yeah. we ever make them.
Yeah.
Justice for Yukimura and the Bi Trinity.
Yeah, and the Sega High School staff t-shirts.
Right, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Is that all your Banana Split?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on into Hot Fudge. I just have one Hot Fudge.
Okay. I didn't write it in Hot Fudge, but we probably have the same idea.
I'm sure we do. Ranka is upset that Haruhi's first kiss was at the dance party in episode 2.
Mm.
They're saying, is this what they're doing at that degenerate host club or something? Which, like, that on its own is, like, none of her father's business.
Right.
And I didn't fully unpack that aspect of it, but the main thing I had a problem with in this scene, I mean, and again, I'm watching the English dub, so maybe it wasn't, it was probably just as bad in the sub, but the Hitachi's reply saying, that's kind of ironic coming from their, like, T-slur, T-word we don't use anymore,
yeah.
Father, and, like, I was watching it, and not to, like, pull back the curtain too much, but I was watching this the day after Trans Day of Visibility.
Mm.
And the suggestion that not conforming to the gender binary or that being trans is degenerate behavior or wrong in some way, like, highly upsets me. I know and love so many fantastic trans people. And again, we love Oron, but it has some problems, and this is most definitely one of them.
I feel like as much as we like Ranka, I just feel that every time they're in an episode, we just get these jokes that are more harmful than they are funny.
Yeah.
The twins, as we also see later on, in general, are take things too far, like, all the time. And so with this, it's just like, they shouldn't have said something like that. And I hate that, you know, like Gianna said, we do have trans family, like, in within our community and stuff. And I would never want them to feel as if they can't be themselves, or them being themselves means that they're less than or they're a degenerate. Like, no.
Right. Right.
And then I think to also go into a slightly different direction, but I guess it could also go with Hot Fudge. I just don't like the fact that Ranka was that upset that Haruhi had her first kiss, and then she decided that the host club was like a degenerate host club. And it's just like, you're asking these questions at the wrong fucking time, because to begin with, you should have been asked these sort of questions when Kyoya was first talking to you, and then you were sending them all of your daughter's personal information without telling her.
Yeah.
So to then be like, oh, you had your first kiss, how dare you do that? Like, where are you coming from with that? Are you upset that Haruhi had her first kiss and didn't tell you, so you feel like hurt that she didn't tell you and that's why you're upset? Or are you upset that she had her first kiss and that it was with a girl? But then that wouldn't make sense if Ranka is bi. But even still, to be upset, why, what does it have to do with you? Because to be honest, I think unless your kid shows up pregnant, I personally don't see the reason why you would be upset. I mean, I guess in the event that your kid is like having sexual relations with somebody else, then at that point, it's just more of, okay, do you know what you're doing? Are you using protection? Okay, let's have a talk about the different types of protection, because you don't want to just have your child be having a child. But I think it's just really invasive. And I didn't like the fact that Ranka was so like upset. It didn't make sense to me.
No. And also, I was just also thinking while you said, I forget what exactly you said earlier that made me think, oh yeah, when Ranka is just giving stuff and information over to Kyoya, it makes me wonder if Haruhi's trust with her father had been broken before, and therefore she has a reason not to tell them a lot of things. Maybe she doesn't want to share all of her details with her parent if for some reason she doesn't feel that she can. So like, I don't know, that's just where my mind went.
Right, like no, I fully understand that too, because like in my own situation, if I could help it, I would not tell my parents what I'm doing. Well, not what I'm doing, but if I'm going somewhere or whatever, because suddenly it's like I'm dealing with a taskmaster of, oh, okay, well, what time are you going to get there? And then suddenly, well, what time are you going to get back?
Yeah.
And da, 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 like all these questions. And it's like, I know that some people, like, it's to show that they care or whatever, but it's like, I'm a fully grown adult. I do not need somebody to micromanage me being out. And I also don't like to deal with people that assume that something bad is happening to me if I don't drop everything that I'm doing to respond to like a message or an inquiry.
Yes. Yeah, that can be a lot.
It's very draining. And so I totally would understand Haruhi just not giving Ranka all of the details, because she knows how her dad is and she's managing their relationship in a way where it's acceptable for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess enforces like her boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I had in Banana Split. That's all I had in Hot Fudge. If you had any, or did you want to move into Ice Cream, You Scream?
I think this is really could just be one Ice Cream, You Scream.
Okay, yeah, let's go to Ice Cream, You Scream then.
I think in general it's just Ranka, but I said women also kidnap people. So Ranka needs to be doing a better job, because like when they play the flashback, you can see that Haruhi does not know them or doesn't want to go with them. And so I didn't like that, because I'm just because they're women doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
A slight side note, but why was Ranka so violent with Tamaki? I know you don't like him, but Jesus.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot directed specifically at Tamaki. I feel like Ranka sees Tamaki as their rival somehow, because it's like, and again, it's like because they're the main ship, supposedly. I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but like their end game is what I've heard. I've never finished the manga. So they're both like, I mean, at this point, it's like they're in competition to be Haruhi's father, but there's also the under, which is God. But there's also the undertones of like dads being aggressive towards people who want to date their children as well. So I feel like they just amped it up real high and made them like super rivals.
Right. But I think for me, because like I know that that's a trope in and of itself of like having the dad be against or super aggressive with the boyfriend. But I just think, you know, save that for when they fuck up. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely unnecessary. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's it.
Okay. So again, I keep trying to bring up my very initial reactions when I first watched the show back in like 2012, 2013. I'm pretty sure I rolled my eyes so hard at just the sight of the Lobelia girls again. I can appreciate the bit a little bit more now, all these years later, and having seen the show a lot. And especially like on this watch through, there's a lot I really, really liked about this episode. But on my first watch, they annoyed the hell out of me. So that's why I just wanted to kind of honorarily put that into I Scream, You Scream. My second Ice Cream, You Scream. I mean, both of these could kind of just go together. It has to do with Haruhi's behavior at Lobelia. One, at any point, she could have said she already had her first kiss. And two, why did she even agree to put on a Lobelia uniform? Like, how did that happen? How did she just end up in one? I don't understand her behavior, because at some points she's like defending herself. And at other points like this, why is she wearing a uniform? Why didn't she just speak up about her first kiss?
I don't know. I feel like she can just be really passive at times when she can be aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't know you and you're telling me to change into your uniform. If I have my special twin cell phone, I'd call the police.
Yeah.
I'm not changing into anything. Like, and in that, it's like, what is the point of having her change into the Lobelia uniform if you're just going to have her change into whatever costume for this play?
I think it's just manipulation. Just like, oh, can't you just see yourself in this uniform? Doesn't this uniform feel so good on you? Just to sort of get into her head.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This reminds me of something I meant to say in Hot Fudge, but I forgot. I think that the Lobelia girls are actually worse than the host club.
Oh, yeah.
Because to kidnap somebody and then try to take their first kiss to get back at a man, what the fuck is that?
That's unhinged.
Literally unhinged. I mean, meanwhile, it wasn't Haruhi's first kiss, but it's like you're literally saying you would steal this girl's first kiss to get back at a man.
Yeah.
Then how can you even attempt to say that you're better than them when you're even worse?
Yeah, and it reminds me of the way Benny Bada worded it in the last Lobelia Girls episode, saying that they would be back for Haruhi like she was a thing to reclaim. So that's like treating her first kiss also as a thing to claim and not, you know, kind of an important thing in a young person's life. I feel like that's a milestone that they decide it feels good for them to do it at that time with that person. And instead she's seeing it like this thing she needs to claim, and like, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Like, how dare you attempt to do that just to get back at people you don't like? What's going on with you that having those hordes of girls be your fan isn't enough for you, that you're trying to steal like an unwilling party to get back at somebody else? Like, nothing that they've done would really warrant that type of reaction.
No, no.
And, you know, it's disgusting. Like, but yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are we ready to move on? Wow, we talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't have nearly as many notes for the next episode, so.
Same. I have even less for the third one.
I have a good bit for the third one, but we'll get there. We'll probably get through it quick. Here's episode 20. The door the twins opened. Our soft serve summary brought to us by Wikipedia. As children, the twins had a maid they adored, but who was, in reality, a thief. They tell her that if she can tell who is who between them, they'll give her the combination to the safe kept hidden in their piggy bank. Unable to tell them apart, the maid breaks open the piggy bank after they fall asleep and robs the family. As she descends from the upper stories of the mansion, the twins wake up and go to her, asking why she broke her promise. She says that she can't tell them apart, and perhaps no one ever will. This begins their dysfunctional view of others being untrustworthy unless they can tell the twins apart. When they meet Tamaki in middle school, he asks them to join the host club and they agree, provided Tamaki can tell who is who, giving him a month to do so. Over time, they grow bored and tell Tamaki to get lost, going back to being mean and selfish, playing tricks on girls who like them, and isolating themselves from others. Tamaki, despite being dismissed, is determined and finally figures out which twin is which. They dislike his reason of intuition, but Tamaki helps Hikaru and Karu understand that it's okay to be who they are, but if they remain isolated, they'll never meet the person who can really tell them apart. The twins decide to be part of the host club and enter, as usual, together. And that's our soft serve summary. Chica, do you have a theme idea?
I said persistence is key.
Oh, I really like that. Yeah. I put, seeing someone for who they truly are means more to them than you'll ever know.
Aww.
I know, my heart. I have a few rocky road points for this episode.
To be honest, this episode was more of a banana split for me, but I can see why there are rocky road moments.
Yeah. So let's get into Float Your Boat. I have one. What do you have?
I have two.
Okay. Awesome. I told you this would be quicker, guys.
I said the gender reveal hair color is back.
Yeah, it is. It is. When they're like dressed up as girls. They looked cute, but yeah, it's kind of interesting if you think about it. Did they like think back to that time when they chose what color to dye their hair in the twins fight episode?
I wonder if they did, maybe.
Or even just like subconsciously. I like thinking of it like that.
Yeah, I think they would do it that way.
Yeah. So my one floats your boat is just that Tamaki is persistently kind to the twins. It's like sort of to get them to join his club, but he also seems to be genuinely interested in being friends with them and interested in them as people. He really takes on the challenge of trying to figure out which one is Hikaru. I don't know. What? It seems like you feel differently.
I feel differently because, like, okay, compartmentalizing, I understand why it floats your boat. Because for Tamaki to be kind in the face of utter, like, rudeness, that's a level of patience that I don't even know I can obtain at my big age.
Right.
So him persisting and everything to get them to join his club, I think that that's really great about him.
I actually have like two quotes of Tamaki's that I really liked that I felt like kind of hammered in my point a little bit. At the beginning of the Which One Is Hikaru game, he tells them that it's still too early for me to tell, which I feel like is him recognizing that he would have to just get to know them better to tell them apart. And I just like that he recognized that, you know, it's about them as people, and the more time he spends with them, then he could see the subtle differences and stuff like that. And the other thing he says towards the end, I think, of the episode, I think it might have been when he said that it was intuition, and they said something about what he said was contradictory. I'm sorry, guys, I watched the episodes a while ago before we recorded this, if I got that part wrong. But he says to them, you two are contradictory. It's what you call individuality, knowing that they're different people, yet they look so much alike. And I really liked that quote from him too.
Yeah, he did a really good job in building this little family and everything, and like,
yeah,
saying certain things that like really stuck with them after they stopped talking to him, or like not stopped talking to him, but after like it was a different scene and they were somewhere else.
Yeah.
The last floats your boat that I have is that I thought it was really funny that Hyoya was in proximity of middle school Haruhi at the very end of the episode, where it's like they're all supposed to be going to the music room. And so like you see Honey and Mori talking to each other about the club. And then you see that the twins are like gonna open the door or whatever at the end. But then when you clue in, you see like Haruhi and stuff, you see Haruhi and she's like has her cute hair. She still had her long hair and her little middle school uniform, and then Kyoya's coming from the side. And I'm just like, you know what? Kyoya's always in these opportune areas.
Yeah, he's always in, like, I guess, I don't want to say the right place at the right time. I guess it would be like the most interesting place at the most interesting time.
Yeah.
Do you want to move into Banana Split?
Sure.
You can take it away, because I have two, but I kind of think one of them might be hot fudge, because I think it's a hot take.
Okay.
So I kind of just have one. Yeah, so please take it away.
I have three, but I think one of them might lead into hot fudge. So I'll do that one last. So I had, why did they dress the boys as girls for a party?
That's what I have too. Yeah, what? What the fuck?
Did they ask, or were you just doing it? And then if you're just doing it, for what purpose?
Right. All I could think of was that their mom's a fashion designer and maybe she like did a children's line and wanted to put them in dresses and stuff. And it's like, I don't know. That seems like a lot.
You could just buy dolls that are their size and then dress the dolls in those outfits. Because they weren't even cute outfits, guys. It was just like this weird Victorian maid thing. And then they had like blue and pink twin tails. And it's like, why are you doing this to them?
Right. It's like, they're already not great socially. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess not so much yet. But like, don't like make people look at them weird further.
Yeah, I think it would like make them feel further like ostracized, you know? Because
yeah.
Why are you dressing them up like that? Is it supposed to be a joke? Yeah, so I didn't get that. And then I also didn't understand why they liked that maid. What is so special about her?
I don't know. They didn't really show any redeeming things about her. Like, did she play with them sometimes? I feel like it would have been even harder hitting if we got to see the quote-unquote good side of this maid.
Right, because it's like all they said was that, oh, she was different from everyone else because everyone else was trying to suck up to them. And she was different because she was trying to steal from them. I don't know why they didn't just logically connect like, oh, well, since she's trying to steal from us, you know, she's not different in a good way. It's a bad way.
Yeah, like I'm surprised I didn't think like, oh, she wants the combination to this safe. Why don't we tell our parents?
Right, or press the button thing.
Yeah, just kind of bizarre writing on this a little bit.
You said you had one too. I think you had one and then the other was like hot fudge.
Yeah, the one that I had was why are the twins dressed as girls at their family event?
Oh, okay.
I think I'm gonna say the other one in hot fudge just because I think it's a hot take. It's like kind of Banana Split, but also like hot fudge.
Right. I think we probably have the same idea. Okay.
Okay. I almost wonder if we should do hot fudge before Rocky Road, because I feel like we're kind of on that train. Do you want to do that? Or is that like too derailed?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say mine then. So the girls that have crushes on Hikaru or Kado, but they can't tell them apart and they're just like, yeah, I'll date you instead. I mean, like, while I don't agree with them tricking these girls, I don't blame them. My God. Like, what? I'm fine with you? That's, oh my God, that's heart shattering.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I was just like, oh, okay, you're saying that they're mean, but girl, you just literally called yourself a family pass around.
God. Yeah.
That's what they did, Gianna.
A family pass around.
She's offended. The girls were trying to be family pass around. Like, oh, well, I like Hikaru or whatever. Which I always wonder, why is it Hikaru and not Kaoru?
I gotta say, if I were at Ouran, I would probably have a crush on Kado.
Right. Me too. Like, it doesn't really make... Like, Hikaru is mean? Like, I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Hot take. Definitely hot fudge, guys.
Yeah, I thought that they deserved it. So, like, them crying and all of that, I didn't feel anything for them. Because it's just, like, if you liked one of the twins, then you should have just said, no, I just want to be with this one twin.
Yeah.
And maybe they would have had an entirely different reaction to it.
Yeah.
But I think the girls just being like, I'll go with you then. It just kind of fulfilled their self-prophecy of like, no one's ever going to be able to tell us apart. Like, it doesn't matter to them. Just like that thieving maid said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it happens with multiple girls, which is just so sad. I can't imagine how that would feel.
I think it would just break them up, or like, not break them up, but I think it would make them really upset on the inside.
Yeah, for sure. That's like, their identity doesn't matter. I just have one other hot fudge. I don't know what you have.
I have one other hot fudge.
I bet it's going to be the same thing. You go ahead.
Tamaki's mom.
Okay, no, actually, but please go off.
Okay, so first of all, The twins were entertained by Tamaki trying to tell who was who. And usually they use the game to like push people away. Like, oh, who's Hikaru? Who's Hikaru? Whatever. But I think for them to go as far as saying that Tamaki is illegitimate, that nobody knows where his mom is.
Oh, yeah.
Shit like that, just because you don't want to join his club, was so fucking unnecessary to me that it's just like, if somebody said that to me, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done in a big way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know what it was about the twins that made Tamaki want to keep reaching out after that, because if you can disrespect someone like that simply because you don't want to do something with them, then it's possible for them to turn that energy onto customers. And then what do you do?
It's really astonishing the way he persisted and just continued to be kind to them no matter what.
I mean, kudos to them, because it's like, it's obvious that they were hurting. I just don't think that they needed to go that far.
Yeah, I agree.
I wonder when Kaoru snapped out of it, because I feel like Hikaru still does go that far.
Yeah.
And Kaoru doesn't. Like, from that episode when we meet Haruhi's, like, childhood friend.
Arai. Yeah.
Arai, and then Hikaru's, like, going too far at that point. And I wonder when Kaoru snaps out of being that way and being the more reasonable one.
Oh, I would love to know that.
Yeah, like, kudos to Kamaki, because it couldn't have been me. Because, like, you talking about my mom, and not only that, my mom has disappeared and you're talking about my mom, we're fighting in the street.
Yeah, no, I would definitely deem it not worth it after that. But I would really, like, not to harp on it too much, but I would love, like a Kado's diary kind of thing. Like, I would just love to know his story. Not that I don't want to know Hikaru's. I mean, I'd be interested in that too. But just because, like, we see that Kado is the more laid-back kind of mature twin. And I would really love to know sort of, like, what clicked and when.
Yeah, me too.
Let's move into Rocky Road. Do you have any, or is it just me?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. I only actually teared up at, like, one instance. But a lot of this was just stuff that made me think, like, deeper about it. Made me feel like, oh, this is, like, really heavy, or it's like really sad. So I don't have to like delve too deep into it. I mean, the main thing is the way the maid just tells them, like, just to their faces as children, like literally traumatizes them. Truly, they were not able to interact with people the same way after they were told that people may never be able to tell them apart. Like that like destroyed their social growth for a really long time and still affects them to this day, like a decade later. That was like really heavy, so I put that in Rocky Road. It's so obvious that the twins are lonely and they're constantly disappointed by the which one is Hikaru game, and that they don't want to get hurt, so they keep people at a distance. And then there's this point later in the episode where Kado breaks down in front of Tamaki, saying that they're the only ones who can tell the difference and nobody ever will. It's so sad that like that's his reality. Just like thinking of it in a finality like that, like nobody ever will, and believing that. And Tamaki's like, I noticed that you look so sad when someone guesses wrong, which is like, it shows that they still have like that little bit of hope every time, and they're disappointed every time. And he says to them, if you keep pushing people away the way that you do, they'll never meet the person who will come along one day and be able to tell them apart. And I thought that that was a very powerful scene. And we really got to see a lot into the heads of the twins and sort of like what a great friend Tamaki is and could be in that moment. And, you know, how they really could get along and grow together someday, some way, like somehow. Later in the episode, We see that flashback again, like at the beginning of the episode when they were kids, and we see the scene play out. And I think I might tear up at this when I watch it. When she guesses wrong, the first girl to play the Which One Is Hikaru game, they start crying unprompted, like not realizing that they were crying, and she's like asking them please not to cry, and that's like a knife through my heart. My God, so sad.
Yeah, but you know, slight hot fudge to their parents. Which I know that's kind of like mood shift, guys. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
When you were talking about it, I was just thinking, you know, like when people have twins, I know like there's this penchant of having them dress the same because it's supposed to be cute. But honestly, like as a twin parent, you should be doing what you can to foster their individuality so that they don't feel like suffocated by it, right?
Yeah.
For the twins, it's like they only had each other, so I get it. But if they wanted to be told apart that much, and as a parent, I think you should be paying enough attention to your kid to be like, hey, you know, they're only friends with each other. They're not making other friends elsewhere. Like, who is who? And how can I make that different? Like, you can cut one of their hair different. You could do certain things so that you can foster their individuality. And I think that the parents have been so lax in that, that they just made it seem as if they are this two-for-one deal, and it doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah. And I feel like it also says a lot with their mother being a designer. I mean, not that she has to make all of their outfits, but, you know, like, why wouldn't she try to do something original for her children at some point?
Yeah.
You know what? Better than that. Ask them what they would like.
Right.
Don't just give them the same things all the time. You know, I'm certainly not a twin. I'm not like very close with twins. So like, I can't really speak for twins, but I don't think that constantly dressing them up as mirror images of the other is the way to go.
Right. I think the same thing.
I just had one more rocky road. So the episode ends with the twins opening the doors to Music Room 3 together the day that the host club formed. And I actually teared up because I'm too sensitive for my own good. Just like thinking about how they just made the best decision for themselves by doing that. Even though it's like, it's the host club, it's so silly, but like, they get to meet Hada Heath through that, and she's that person who will come along one day and be able to tell them apart without really thinking about it, you know? And even them just being part of the host club helped them blossom socially because they were forced to interact with people on the daily and kind of learn how to talk to them and stuff like that. So I just, I don't know. It made me really think about all that. And I teared up because I couldn't help it.
They became better people because of the club. Slightly better people.
Yeah. So do you want to move into Ice Cream You Scream?
I didn't have any. I think it was just mostly the hot fudge part. About the mom. I think that was kind of enough for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't have any.
I just had a couple really quick ones.
Okay.
So there's actually one thing that I forgot to say during Hot Fudge. The maid really pulled a knife out on the twins' children.
Ooh. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, like she fully threatened them with a weapon, and they're so small. They're small children. What?
Right, like literally go to hell.
Yeah.
Die. Like, why would you pull out, like, a knife on children? On children. That's why I was so, like, I should have remembered that when I was talking about, like, why do they even like her? Because what?
Right. Why?
What is there to like about somebody that pulled a knife on you?
Oh, I can't. That's wild to me. So, I have two very quick Ice Cream You Screams. This is just a quote. Basically, they're going around the classroom and we're seeing people kind of gossip about the Hitachins, and then like we're seeing it look like a page ripped out of the screen and those people are crossed out, essentially meaning that the twins will not associate with them. And it's because they're overhearing people say like, those Hitachins are intimidating, but my parents want me to be friends with them. And that's like so terrible. So not only are they dealing with people not being able to tell them apart, girls saying pretty much, oh, I don't really care about your personality, so like, I'll take whichever one of you. And then they're hearing that people who do talk to them probably only want to talk to them for their parents' business benefit. And that just made me mad. So I put it in Ice Cream You Scream.
Yeah, I could understand why. I would definitely be upset by that too. Because if you're just trying to get close to me, I think it just all goes back into justifying their bad behavior towards other people and then cutting themselves off from their classmates and people around them. It's because if you're just trying to get close to them because of who they, like, who their parents are and not who they are personally, like, why would they even put in effort to be nicer?
Yeah, exactly. It again just renders their identity unimportant and unnecessary. I don't know. It made me very mad. So I put it in Ice Cream You Scream. And my last Ice Cream You Scream is that Tomoki takes it upon himself to add the twins to the guest list for a film festival.
Mm.
And they're like not even friends at all. They're like, hey, that's our decision. And Tomoki's like, no, you guys are going to attend this. It kind of reminds me of the way that the host club treats Hadahi. So it's interesting to see it happen to someone else. But Yeah, that made me really mad. I'm like, oh my God, no, do never sign me up for a social thing that I don't want to go to.
Right. It's like, don't ever do that. But also, like, they already said no. So them saying no and then some random senpai saying that they're going to do it, if they don't show up, like, that's on you. You should have taken their no when they first said it.
Yeah.
Like, the first time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on into episode 21. Until the Day It Becomes a Pumpkin. Here is our soft serve summary by the folks over at Wikipedia. Class 1A runs the Halloween Test of Courage tournament, in which teams scare each other. Class 1A president Kazukiyo Soga, Haruhi, and the twins are Team B. Kazukiyo reveals that he has nyctophobia, a fear of the dark. A fact that he wants to keep secret. The twins overhear this, but stop teasing him once he also reveals his pure-hearted crush on Momoka Kurikano, Class 1A's vice president. Nekazawa and the rest of the host club join forces to scare Team B using Tamaki dressed as the Clock Tower Witch to terrify them. Haruhi and Hikaru trip a net that traps them above ground, while Kado and Soga are shoved and locked in an empty room by Kuretake and Karumatsu. There, Kado muses to Soga about the carriage being turned back to a pumpkin, which, to Kado, means that Tamaki's idolization of the host club as family will one day end, as will his own, quote-unquote, special relationship to Hikaru. Haruhi and Hikaru break free, courtesy of a hidden sewing kit in Haruhi's pocket, and they all reunite with Class 1A. Nekazawa frightens everybody by casting a shadow of Belzenef on the domed skylight, thus earning Class 1A the title of the Captains of All Cowards. And that is our soft serve summary. Chica, what's your theme?
I said, if you don't want to do something, then don't do it.
I really like that. I actually don't have a theme, so I appreciate that. I think this episode is just fun, spooky Halloween vibes.
Yeah. Do you have sprinkle on top?
I do, and I find it really funny that reading the soft serve summary from Wikipedia just now confirmed my sprinkle on top as being accurate. I have that the pumpkin signifies how the host club being Tamaki's family is wholly from his imagination and someday may all disappear. But I didn't realize it was also about his special relationship with Hikaru, and that definitely makes sense.
Oh, I was thinking more about, like, the Cinderella carriage.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it's, like, being compared to.
Yeah.
Because it'll just turn back into a pumpkin at midnight. So it's like one day.
It's gonna all be over.
Yeah. Hikaru and Kado won't only have each other. Like, there will be other special people in their life. So the intensity of their bond won't be the same. Thus, therefore, it'll be a different relationship, but it'll still be with each other. And one day, Honey and Mori are gonna graduate that year, their third year. So Tamaki's family isn't always gonna be at Oron, you know, and they're gonna have to face that someday. So very deep sprinkles on top for this one.
Yes, very deep.
Do you want to get into Floats Your Boat?
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
I just said this is just a Halloween themed school festival.
Yes, quite, and I love it.
Yeah, which I mean, I guess it's fun because, you know, they do that in the fall, right? When they're trying to get new people to come to the school or whatever. Or is that in the spring? They have a school festival and it's like, our school's the best. Look at all of these little, like, kiosk places.
I think it's in the spring.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. But they did in the fall. So I was like, oh, that's nice. That's a little different. And that it was like Halloween themed. And then Renge's Halloween poem.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's actually my first Floats Your Boat. I honestly think that the way Renge describes Halloween is perhaps my favorite description of, like, autumn or Halloween ever. She's like, Halloween, the day that sounds the death knell of summer and ushers in the icy breath of winter. That speaks to my soul. Like, I love that. And I love Halloween. I'm an October baby, so Halloween in the fall has always been my favorite season. I just feel, like, powered up during that month.
Yeah, I look forward to watching Hocus Pocus. And, like, drinking, like, hot chocolate, although you can just really drink that year-round, you know.
And I do.
Right, and, like, I used to go to the richer, like, suburbs so I could get, like, expensive candy. I mean, I don't trick-or-treat now, but yeah.
Yeah, no, there's nothing like that day after Halloween candy.
Yeah. And, like, you're just going in and just, like, finding the goods and all of that.
I have a lot of floats your boat for this episode, so I'm going to try not to take too long. I think that the vice president is so precious and pure. I think we can add him to the list of cinnamon rolls that have appeared on Shoujo Sunday.
Oh, he's the class president? Vice president? I thought he was just the class. I don't know what his title is.
Like, the class rep or something? Yeah. Oh, gosh. So sorry, guys. Yeah. I think I got confused making my notes for some reason.
No, it's okay.
But what was his name? Soga?
Yeah, I thought he was so cute. Like, especially when he, like, died. So he didn't really die, okay. But, like, his temperature, every time they were, like, pushing for, like, Renge's Halloween theme, and he was just like, does anyone have any objections? Like, his temperature kept going down until it was the negative. And I was just like, if you were that cold, you would be dead.
Yeah. I just especially love him trying to, like, subtly hint to Haruhi that he wants somebody to object. But he just doesn't have, like, telepathic powers like that. She's just, like, not registering it at all that he's silently begging her to save him with her eyes. It's just going straight through her.
Yeah, yeah, that was hilarious.
We also see some amazing vampire cosplay at the host club.
Yes.
They're all so cute.
It was cute. Mori was cute. I mean, everybody was. But Mori was cute.
Yeah, of course. I was just like, Honey was just, like, adorable. You wanted to, like, pat him on the head. I'm like, Kyoya is so cute. Look at him, vampire.
Right. And then, oh my gosh, the girl, the host club girl, like, evaded temptation. Because Tamaki was just like, oh, like, you know, I could suck your blood. And she was just like, I don't think we need to do that or whatever. But she was all, like, blushing and stuff. And her friend was blushing. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm glad that y'all are so pure.
Right.
Even though you're paying for these services. But okay.
Yeah, just like improv is usually yes and. But, like, well, you know, you're paying for it. We'll see wherever you take it.
Right.
I mean, I personally love the return of Nekazawa, bringing the extra spooky vibes to the test of courage. Also, especially that he just emerges from a coffin, because why not?
Right, and it's like, you know, of course he would come out, because this is his season.
Yes, yeah, like, he's living for the fall, he's living for Halloween, and the day is getting shorter.
Something that I noted was that when it turned from, like, day to night, that the moon had a pumpkin face.
I didn't notice that. Oh, I'm going to look for that the next time I watch. That's so cool. I really like that.
Yeah.
But I think that could be added to Sprinkles on Top. Like, that's super cool.
It was really cute. I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, we get it. It's Halloween, but okay.
Yeah. So there's this moment where Soga is listing out all of these hilarious phobias that he has. I can't talk tonight. I don't know what's happening.
Phobias.
But phobias, yeah. He says, in his list, one of the things he says is accidentally seeing horror movie trailers phobia, which when I was a kid, if there was an actual phobia name for this, I would have had it because I was terrified. I was such a scaredy cat when it came to stuff like that when I was a kid. So highly relatable for younger me.
Right. Like, so before my mom decided she was saved again, she used to watch the Sci-Fi Channel, like, all of the time. And I don't know why that meant you were unsaved. But anyway, so she was watching the Sci-Fi Channel a lot, and then they were playing the Leprechaun movie. So I don't know why, but I was, like, peeping. Like, I was watching the movie while she was watching it. And then there's the scene where the leprechaun, spoiler alert, I guess, if y'all care. There's a scene in the leprechaun where the leprechaun makes the pot of gold come out of the convenience store's, like, man's stomach.
What?
Woo! Like,
oh my God.
And so I had, like, this fear of leprechauns, like, for real. I was just like, oh my God, like, I don't want gold. I don't ever want it. Don't look at me.
Oh my God, it's so funny what would scare us as kids.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a really ugly looking leprechaun. Like, you would be scared too.
Yeah, I've never seen it. That sounds funny though.
It was terrible. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's not as scary now, but young me that was, like, watching Sailor Moon and cutesy shit on TV all the time, it was so violent.
Yeah. We have a couple fourth wall breaks that I feel like I can't go without mentioning the fourth wall breaks because they're, like, my favorite form of humor in this. So when Haruhi is talking to Soga and He's telling her that he tried to give her a sign to object to the idea. A text box that pops up and says, telepathic ability, zero, about Haruhi. And he literally just pushes it out of the frame so that he can keep complaining to her. And I thought that was very funny. And especially also in that scene, he's like, don't tell the Hitachi brothers. And they were already there listening in.
Yes, they scare him so bad that it's like he's a cat and he's trying to scratch the wall. Take it away from them.
It's completely freaking out. Which is like another fourth wall break happened later when the twins are like sort of antagonizing him. They're scaring him. Haruhi like grabs the soul that like flew out of his body and throws it back into him. So like that's just another fourth wall break that's pretty silly. There is part of that scene that's a little ice creamy scream for me, but we'll get there. Of course, I mean, he has a cute crush on Kurikano. Like, of course that's flipped through both. How adorable.
And it's the cutest love. He doesn't have the confidence to confess, but he's just happy that they're in the same class council with one another.
Yeah.
And like, since she was so excited about it, even though he wanted Haruhi to say something, like, he didn't rule it out at all because he wanted her to have fun. I thought that was just so cute.
So, I think it might have been at the Test of Courage when... Yeah, it was definitely at the Test of Courage when he's talking about his crush on Kurikano, and the twins are like... He has a heart of gold. Our powers are nothing against his wholesomeness. It's like super melodramatic. It's like they're villains. I thought that was very funny. A lot of this is reactionary to this episode because it's such a funny and a very fun Halloween episode. It really feels like, even though it's springtime when we're watching this, it felt like Halloween when I was watching this episode. I feel like they captured the essence of the holiday very well.
They did. They made it so much fun. I think it was funny that, you know, Tamaki couldn't handle them just going off doing things by themselves, so he's just like, okay team, let's like team up with Nakazawa to scare the living shit out of their class. But the fact that they did it right, and then you see Bezelneff in this shadow,
yeah,
and then everyone's soul like came out of them. I died. I was just like...
Yeah. It's like, how could they not see that it was Bezelneff? They even, like, say that later.
Yeah.
Haruhi was like, I should have known that it was Bezelneff. Or it was one of the twins who said it. I can't remember which one, but it was funny.
You could just tell, but it didn't matter because they were already on edge, like, the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just have one more Flitzer boat.
Okay.
The host club showing up. And I mean, I guess that in of itself, I realized maybe I have different thoughts about. But just some of the events that happened. I thought it was honestly kind of cute that Hikaru and Haruhi got stuck in the trap together. It was interesting to see them paired up again. And Hikaru's concern about being separated from Karu, I thought that was really nice to see that his mind instantly went to his brother. And also, when she's cutting them out of the trap, and Hikaru's just so flustered, he's like, what are you doing? It's really cute.
The thing is, I know people ship them.
Yeah.
But I just...
I mean, I don't. I did like the moment, though.
The moment is, yeah, like, the moment was cute. But I also don't get it. I feel that it would require too much growing on Hikaru's part to make it possible.
For sure.
But it's kind of interesting because, you know, the way Karu is talking about it, it's as if he's waiting for Hikaru to realize his feelings.
Yeah.
Like, he left Haruhi in the dust just to go find Karu. So, I mean, it's not happening anytime soon.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. My last part of that is just like, all I have written is like, Mori is Frankenstein. Like, that's adorable.
Yeah.
And also, possibly my favorite is Honey with a jack-o'-lantern on his head going like, I'm the wolf man. And then, like, text pops up in the box and it just says, wrong.
Right. Yeah. That was like, so funny.
The first time I saw that, I absolutely lost it. But that is all of my floats your boat for this episode. Do you have any more?
Nope.
Okay. Do you want to move into Banana Split?
Honestly, I feel like I was just going through the episode motions. So I like have ice cream, you scream barely. And like, that's it.
Yeah. All I have is one banana split and two ice cream, you scream. So okay. Not a whole lot left. So my banana split is that we have the theater of Tamaki's mind returning. Although there's a plot hole that I noticed. He knows Haruhi isn't afraid of ghosts, But his worst case scenario is her leaping into the twins' arms to ease her terror of, like, ghosts and stuff popping out at her at the Test of Courage. So that was just interesting after the beach episode.
I hadn't thought about, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think about it till this rewatch either. It's really interesting what making notes for the show will do.
Right? Like, you find the little tidbits like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is scholarly.
Yeah, I'll never forget my first Sprinkle on Top for Blue Spring Ride. I felt like I'd had like 3 college degrees.
Yeah, like y'all couldn't tell us anything. Especially, ooh, like when we were talking about Whisper of the Heart. I don't remember, but I know I had a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Go listen to our Whisper of the Heart episode after this, guys, if you've seen it.
Yes, go and do that. Even if you haven't seen it, if you are like a rare podcast listener like me, that will listen to things even if you haven't seen them.
Ooh, you're better than me.
That's what we're here for, okay? We give you the soft serve summary, so you already know what's finna happen.
Right, right.
So, like, we tell you what happens, and then we tell you our thoughts. So, low-key, like, spread this to our people. Other people that they don't need to see the material before they listen.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move into Ice Cream, You Scream. What do you have?
Renge barging into someone else's class to tell them what to do for Halloween.
Oh, right. That wasn't her class?
No. I don't think so. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't because the class rep guy was just like, you aren't part of this.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he said something like that in the very beginning of when she started talking and all this stuff.
Oh, I actually don't remember because I think I was just so caught up by her Halloween speech.
Because he was looking at her crazy like, why are you doing this? And then everybody was caught up in it and he was alone. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think somebody just barging into their class and then waxing poetic about stuff and then telling them what to do is like, who are you to tell us what to do?
Yeah.
I think if the twins hadn't gotten caught up in it, like, they would have shut her down, but it's kind of too late. Once the twins got into it, then all of a sudden everybody else was into it.
Right, right. The two host club boys.
Yeah.
My first Ice Cream, You Scream isn't, like, really that deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about the twins tormenting Soga, telling him scary stories during the Test of Courage to rile him up. As a kid, I was someone who scared, like, super easily. So I didn't think that this was very right of them to just sort of make it an even scarier situation for him.
I don't know why when you hear somebody's weakness that they just feel the need to immediately act on it. Like, chill out.
Yeah. Yeah, like, take a breather.
Yeah, but in line with that, I also put that, you know, if you're so scared, why did you come? I mean, that girl that he likes, like, there are enough council people that he didn't have to attend if he was that scared, you know?
Yeah, but I think he just wanted to do something nice for Kitakano. Yeah. So it's like, I see where he's coming from, but yeah, I mean, he really put himself through it.
Yeah.
So I just have one more Ice Cream, You Scream. Do you have any more?
I have one too. Having a sewing kit makes you practical, not feminine.
Yes! Oh, finger snaps over here. Absolutely. My goodness.
Yeah. I mean, I know that their mom is a designer, but there are also male designers.
Yeah, brilliant male designers.
Yeah, so it's like, I think they should know better than to just act as if designing is just a woman's job when there's so much more to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, having a sewing kit is like great, you know, because if you like bust your pants, you can go and fix them.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay. My last Ice Cream, You Scream is when Haruhi finds a book about how to deal with anxiety, and she lists the 3 cardinal rules. The first rule is pretend that everything is okay. The second rule is to whistle a cheerful little tune. And the third rule is to repeat to yourself that everything is okay. And I know it's gotta be a joke for sure, right? But I think that this is sort of talking down to people with anxiety, kind of like a silly 1-2-3 on how to fix it, when anxiety is a lot more than that. And it takes a lot of work with, like, inner work with yourself and with a therapist to learn how to manage. And it definitely sounds like Soga needs perhaps to talk to a therapist about his anxiety. Yeah, I did, something just really ticked me off the wrong way about this, because I've dealt with anxiety and like without, we've been going a little long, guys, so I certainly won't get into it, but I've dealt with very strange anxiety that I know is irrational, but I somehow have to like deal with. And it's not something I really deal with much these days, but there was a time where I was like, I know this is irrational and it's like interrupting my entire life and I need to figure out how to do something. So it's like thinking about the way anxiety has impacted my life and it's like, whistle a cheerful little tune, like kind of makes me mad. So that's why it's I Scream, You Scream.
I guess to give another perspective on that, and I just thought about this while you were like talking about your notes on it. It reminds me of this play, musical / movie called The King and I, where like this governess, she goes to Siam. I know that's the play, guys, or whatever, the story. She goes to Siam to like teach the king's kids English and whatever else. And like the very first song in the film, I'm thinking of like the Turner Classic Movie, is like she's trying to make her son not feel afraid while they're on this boat. And so the song is called I Whistle a Happy Tune. So when you started listing off, like, this is what Haruhi said to deal with anxiety, the literal song is like, whenever I feel afraid, I whistle a happy tune and nobody will suspect I'm afraid. And so I'm just like, oh, is this like a reference to...
Is it interesting?
This might be too deep of a cut, but I'm just like, are they just making like the King and I reference? But like, why? But yeah, like, I fully understand where you're coming from because I also deal with anxiety as well, and anxiety and depression. And like, when I tell you nothing gets me going than talking about the fact that I have depression, and then someone's immediate response is stop.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, do you think I want to have depression? Like, no, I don't want to have depression. And
right.
It's not, oh, like, oh, well, think positively. Like, no, like, if I'm thinking, oh, I want to die, it's not like, oh, I want to die gracefully. Like, no, it's not like, it's not easy. Like, you don't just flip a switch, because if I could flip a switch, I wouldn't have any of these problems.
Right, right.
Right, right.
At the same time, it's like, I do want to not, like, completely tear it to shreds, because there is a part of me that's like, you know, telling yourself that everything is okay could be seen as, like, an affirmation or a mantra in some way to like talk yourself out of it, or like some kind of grounding exercise. If whistling helps you take you out of your body for a second so that you can calm down, like that's fine. Like, again, I'm overanalyzing a very simple joke, but like, I guess it could kind of be banana split in a way too, just like thinking about it that way, where some of it can be kind of grounding. But yeah, on a first watch, I was like, this bothers me.
Right. No, I totally understand.
But I think that's it, unless you have anything else.
Nope, that's it.
We have made it through episode 34 of Shoujo Sunday. Thank you so much for listening. And it is time for our patron shout out. For our Sprinkles patrons, we have PJ, Pete, and Akemi. For our Whipped Cream patron, we have Mark M. And for our Hot Fudge patrons, we have Aaron, AJ, Mark D, and Mackenzie. Thank you all so much for being our patrons. If you enjoyed our review this week or any of our previous episodes, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening that you can put a 5-star review. We would super appreciate it. We will reach so many more shoujo fans that way. If you want to keep up with us on social media, you can follow us at Shoujo Sunday across all platforms. If you want to keep up with us personally, you can follow me, Gianna Luna, at Gianna_Luna_ across all socials. And how about you, Chica?
You can follow me at Chica Supreme. That's Chica with a K, not 2 C's.
All right, guys, we will see you in a couple weeks with our next few Ouran episodes. We'll see you then. Bye!